But I do realize that Cindy has COVID, and I'll pray for her now if it's okay. Father, we just come before you, Lord, throwing our hat in the ring, so to speak, praying, dear God, for Cindy, and Lord, praying, dear God, for a pastor as well. God, that they would know you as a great physician, and God, we pray, dear Lord, that this thing that they're going through, Lord, would be for your honor and for your glory, for healing, dear God, as opposed to anything else. Now, God, we know that and everything, Lord, we can give you thanks. And so we can thank you in the midst of this, knowing, dear God, that you're going to use this to help to conform us to the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For your word says, dear God, that you work all things together for good for those who love God and those who are called according to your purpose. That and that purpose, Lord, is certainly to conform us to the image of your Son. And so we can thank you, Lord, even in this. And we can thank you in advance for the healing that we anticipate in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Oh, by the way, I got my new teeth. Remember I told you last time I was here, somebody paid for these for me. And I like these better than the ones that I had originally. Amen. And you know, and you remember that job you were praying for me that I might get? Well, I got that job. I got the job delivering dentures. Matter of fact, I had opportunity to deliver my dentures to my dentist, and he put them in. Amen. And it's a driving job every two days a week, Thursdays and Fridays. Amen. It helps to pay the bills. And so I do appreciate that answer to prayer, and I appreciate you guys praying for me, and I certainly do appreciate you. And before I get into trouble, let me open up in prayer. And this is a prayer that I pray for you importunately just about every day, and I prayed it for you this morning. The prayer is found over in Ephesians chapter 5. How many of you like to pray God's word back to him? Amen. How many of you realize that that's one aspect of praying in the spirit when we pray the word back that he authored? Father, for this cause I bow my knee unto you, our Lord, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I pray that you would grant us, according to your riches in glory, to be strengthened with might by your Spirit who dwells in the inner man. That Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, may dwell or abide in our hearts by faith. That we, being rooted and grounded in his love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of your love. And that we might know by experience the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. As a result of being filled with all the fullness of your Spirit. Now unto you, Lord, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. According to the power of your Spirit that works in our hearts to perfect it. Unto you, Lord, be glory in this church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Brother, can I get that song on the screen? I'm going to try to sing that song. Forgive me if I mess up. You might not know it because I know how to ad-lib. Amen. Ooh, Lord Jesus, take me, Lord, here's my heart. Take me now, Lord Jesus, take me. I would give my heart to thee. Thy devoted servant, make me only thine to thee. Savior, while my heart is tender, I would give thee every part. All my talents I surrender. I am thine, Lord, here's my heart. Lord Jesus, take me. Lord, here's my heart. Use me now, Lord Jesus, use me as I tell of Calvary. I kind of messed that up. But let me finish. You can skip that, brother. I told you I'm an ad-libber. How many of you know that song? Please raise your hand. That's a song that was written by a brother by the name of Ron Hamilton. And I don't know if you remember the Patch the Pirate. You never heard of Patch the Pirate? Amen. And this has always been one of the dear songs of my heart, and very, very appropriate for the message that I'd like to preach to you this morning. And so I thought I'd be able to just walk through that thing, but I always mess things up. But, you know, like I say, I don't stop. I just keep going. Amen. And so let me just kind of sing that refrain once again, because it's so appropriate for the message today. Ooh, Lord Jesus, take me. Lord, here's my heart. Take me now, Lord Jesus, take me. I would give my heart to thee. All my talents I surrender, only thine to thee. Savior, while my heart is tender, I would give thee every part. All my talents I surrender. Oh, here's my heart. Here's another song that's appropriate, short one. How many of you know that the Lord is coming back real soon? I mean, you've been hearing that all year. Amen. And praise the Lord for your theme. But the song goes like this. By and by, when I look on his face, beautiful face, thorn-shadowed face. By and by, when I look on his face, I wish I had given him more. More, so much more. More of my heart than I e'er gave before. By and by, when I look on his face, I wish I had given him more. So we've already determined that you already believe that the Lord is coming back soon, and very soon. How many of you, like me, will wish when you see him face to face that you had given him more of the one thing that he desires from us more than anything else? Now, I know that some of you would say, well, he desires our love more than anything else. And, you know, and you'd be right. Amen. Because the word of God says that the first and great commandment is to love the Lord God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second one is like unto that. Amen. That we love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And then he takes it to another level when he says, listen, you know, now that Christ is gone and he enabled you to love the way he loves you, I want you to love one another the way he loves us. Certainly. But you know, before we can even express the type of love that God desires from us, we have to give him our hearts. Amen. Amen. And there's a reason why. And we'll get to that throughout the message. But God wants our hearts. I believe he wants our hearts more than anything else. And the last time I was here, I believe it was in January, I preached on giving God our hearts. And so why now? Because let me give you a few reasons why. I didn't have time to develop another message. I found out that I was preaching last night. And a message I really wanted to preach here one day is a message I thought is very, very appropriate. And it's the fact that a lot of people are suffering an identity crisis. Amen. But I didn't have time to develop that. And so the Lord laid this message on my heart. Because even though I talked about it to some degree the last time I was here, it's a message that's inexhaustible. You can't preach enough about the heart. You know, the Word of God references the heart at least over 700 times in the Word of God. And I would encourage you, you know, as we look at the importance of the heart and why God wants our hearts, to do a word study on the heart. You'll be tremendously blessed on that. I guarantee you that you will. But anyhow, this is the message the Lord laid on my heart in reference to this whole concept of how much he wants our heart. Another reason why I preach the message is because of this, because of the day and age that we live in. God characterizes his people as those who are reluctant to give God our hearts. Even though he says, I stand at the door of your heart, calling you by name and asking you to open the door of your heart so that I can come and be seated at the throne of your heart. But we live in a day and an age where we would, most people, and unfortunately, maybe even most Christians, except for a remnant, a small group of the whole, instead of bowing their hearts to the Lord, in this self-centered age that we live in, have bowed our hearts to Baal. I confess, you know, the last time I was here, we talked about visions, and the vision that God has given me was characterized in a song that I'll sing in close of the message if we have time. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save who thou art. God laid that on my heart, and I had made a commitment. I need to feel like I'm talking to somebody, my brother, that I would make that my goal, my vision. Even if I had to intentionally give God my heart 3 times a day, like Daniel did. Intentionally, like David did, a man after God's own heart, I would do that. Now, as I take inventory and I look back at that commitment, I see, brother Jason, I didn't do that good a job. I started giving my heart to idols. I have a hard time, man, when football season comes around or when basketball comes around. And I'm just talking about me. And the whole time is I'm really trying to determine how much of my heart I'm going to give away to anything other than God. And God says, listen, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. The world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We have to be careful. It's so easy for us to put idols before God. Person, places or things. It's our nature. So I said that by way of introduction to say this, that I need this message more than you. I know me. Matter of fact, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why would you ask me to preach? Can't you get somebody else? Because my heart is not right with you the way it should be. Tony, get it right. Let me ask you, is your heart right with God as much as he wants it to be? And believe me, I don't stand up here in a very condescending way looking down on you and say, listen, I've arrived. I haven't. I just told you. I always, Jason, you know, I always try to be transparent, don't I, brother? I told my wife when I left, I said, no, baby, I'm a little embarrassed about going because I could be, my heart could be in a better place. But I said, you know what? God is so faithful. He's given me an opportunity. And I've received a little reviving in my heart. How about you? Let's see how this works for you. You know, the title of the message today is A Sanctified Heart. And I just prayed the text, so I won't go back there, but we will speak to that in the closing of the message, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And I want to quickly share with you three thoughts. You know how we do three thoughts. Because we don't really retain a whole lot. And the thoughts are these: the significance of the heart, or the significance of your heart, the salvation of your heart, and also the sanctified or the spirit-filled heart. Amen? So why don't we begin? A sanctified heart is a heart that is set apart for the Lord to dwell, abide, or to live there by faith. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, you don't have to turn there, but the Apostle Paul admonishes us. He says, to sanctify the Lord God in your heart so you can be ready to give an answer to every person asking you for the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Sanctify the Lord God so that he can ask you for the reason of your hope. Listen, the hope that we have as Christians is a living hope. Our hope is that Christ dwells in our heart. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. They're not unfamiliar verses, but, you know, we certainly need to be reminded. I needed to be reminded. And the Holy Spirit is faithful to do that. In Colossians 1, 27, it says, to whom the whole body, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Christ dwells in our hearts the moment you get saved by faith. And he has a reason, a purpose for doing that. And that, let me say this lest I forget. The primary reason is this. Concerning you and me, God does his best work in our hearts in the processes of conforming us to the image of his Son. God works from the inside out. Can I get an amen? And God wants to work in our hearts because of the significance of the heart. Look at Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26. Are you still with me? All right. You guys are kind of quiet. You know, I do a little... Jason's been in a, I attend First Bible Baptist Church in Rochester, and everybody knows when I'm there because I agree with the pastor. Amen. And when I'm not there, well, they know when I'm not there, but I can't be in two places at once. Amen. But I'm here today, and I'm here to motivate, challenge, encourage you and reference this whole concept of the heart. Look at Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived apart from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God said that. Amen. Speaking by the Spirit, not only to his children, but to, I believe, to every man, woman, boy, or girl. He says, my son, give me thine heart. Listen, God will not steal your heart. He will not take your heart. He will not impose upon you. He'll ask you. Now, the enemy, he'll do his dead level best to try to steal your heart. Can I get an amen? But not God. My son, my daughter. I don't care how young you are, how old you are. God's desire is your heart. Give me thine heart. Then he goes on to say this, and let thine eyes observe my ways. You know, as I was putting the whole thought together, I thought about that saying, and I'm going to butcher this a little bit, and, you know, Brother Pastor Richard straightened it out for me, but it's been said, someone said, that the world has yet to see what God can do in and through that one person who gives their heart totally and completely to God. The greatest example of that is the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you know that, how many of you believe that he gave his whole heart totally and completely to the Father? He did always those things that pleased the Father in his humanity. Amen. But you say, well, he was the Son of God. Well, let me give you another example, the Apostle Paul. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He said, I die daily. I have to die to self every day. And I dare say, so do we, if we're going to give God our hearts. My son, give me thine heart and let my eyes observe thy, let thine eyes observe. In other words, give me your heart and watch what I do with it. Well, Lord, that doesn't make very much sense to me. Not any good human sense that because you know what my heart is like, yet you would ask me to give you my heart. Lord, didn't you say in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, that the heart is deceitful? Above all things. He didn't pick out any one specific thing. He said all things. The heart is deceitful above all things. And then he goes on, he says it's desperately wicked. I mean, it's, come on somebody, help me out with this. If it's deceitful, dishonest, disloyal, unfaithful, it's not good. Above all things, that's really bad. Then he goes on to say, it's desperately wicked. How many of you know that we're capable of doing thank you, brother, because I was going to go somewhere I probably shouldn't have went. But, but God says, and yet God says, give me that heart. And then, and let your eyes observe my way. Watch what I can do with your heart. Please give me your heart. I can hear God requesting, asking, pleading. Give me your heart. I do my best work in your heart. You still with me? I'm trying to walk through this thing. Huh? God wants our hearts in spite of knowing how deceitful and desperately wicked they are. God wants our hearts even though he knows. Look with me to Matthew chapter 15 verses 18 through 20. As we look at this short list of all the evil that God references in reference to this whole concept of just how evil the heart of man is by nature, before their heart has been regenerated. And unfortunately, for some Christians, we live as if it never has been. And folks, once again, I'm not preaching in a very condescending way. I'm not looking down on you. The only one that knows my heart better than I do is God. And I'm fearful because I know my heart of what I'm capable of doing if I don't give my heart to God. Listen, anytime I'm not living a Christ-centered life, we want to go there. I'm living a self-centered life. That's not a good place to be. The Word of God says a backslider in heart should be filled with his own ways. Christ is not seated at the throne of a person's heart who is self-centered. There's times, and I had to confess with my wife this morning, you know, there's times where I sit on in the middle of the morning, man, I'm sitting on the edge of the bed. And it's, Tony, what's wrong with you, man? Why don't you go get some sleep? It's times like that when my heart's not right. Those are the times when I need to just surrender. Anybody else? That's why I like those amens. But anyhow, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defile not the heart. You see, beloved, our hearts are naughty by nature because we inherited, were invested, ingested with, inoculated with the devil's sin nature when we were conceived in the womb. That's why we must be born again so that we can receive God's new nature the moment we get saved. Jesus said we must be born again. Beloved, even though the Lord knows that our hearts are evil, he loves us so much that he still wants us to give him our hearts so that he can create in us a clean heart. He hates our sin nature because of it is birthed in us by the devil. And he loves the sinner, but he hates our sin because sin is deadly. Romans chapter 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. What does that mean? I'm glad you asked. Sin is deadly. It will destroy you spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, socially, and especially our relationship with God. God hates sin. He loves the sinner. And with that in mind, let me remind you, because I know that you know these things. Don't play with sin. Sin will take you further than you ever thought you'd go, keep you longer than you'd ever plan on staying, and cost you more than you can ever pay. Even the smallest of you. Young folks, I hope you're getting this. Don't play with sin. Sin will rob your heart from God. God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. God wants our hearts because of the significance of the heart. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Are you still with me? This is the longest point, so you're not going to be here all day if you're worried about that. But we gotta make this point. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. God wants our hearts because of the significance of the heart. He said to do your best to guard or protect your heart, because out of it springs or flows all of the issues of life. The Word of God uses the word heart primarily to refer to the ruling center of the whole person. It encompasses our whole spirit, soul, and body. You got that, Jace? In the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly, and I pray that our whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you and also will do it. Now, please listen carefully here, because it took me a while to write this, to put this together, and I just pray that you will be able to make sense out of it. The heart, biblically speaking, is the center of all spiritual, emotional, and physical activity. The heart, spiritually speaking, enables you to communicate or have fellowship with God. If you are not saved, the Bible says that you are spiritually dead to God. If and when you get saved, the Lord quickens your heart. Brings your heart up to life. And he simultaneously comes to dwell or live in our heart or our inner man by his spirit. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. I believe this by faith, but I just can't fathom how God can do this. But he does. Isaiah 57, 15 says, "For thus saith the Lord, the high and the lofty one," speaking of himself, the Most High God, "the one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy." He said, "I dwell," or "I live in the high and the holy place." And then he goes on to say this, "And with him also that is of a contrary or humble spirit." Why? "To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Can you fathom that the Most High God, who calls himself the high and the lofty one, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy? He said, "I dwell in the high and the holy place," but he also humbles himself to dwell in the heart of man. Maybe you can fathom that that God dwells in my heart. That's salvation. The moment you get saved, God wants to dwell there because he does his best work concerning us in our hearts. Remember I said earlier, the world has yet to see what God can and will do in a person whose heart is totally, completely given over to him. God can and will do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask, think, pray, or say. In the heart of a person who's totally and completely given over to him. The heart is very significant. The greatest enemy of our heart, of course, is the devil. I don't even think, Jason, that he really wants us to give him our hearts. I think he's more inclined to take it, to steal it. That's his nature. He's not going to ask us to give me your heart. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. It's really that serious. God stands at the door and knocks. And he calls us by name. And his desire is for us to open the door. He's not going to barge in so they can come and dwell there, abide there, have fellowship with us. The enemy stands at the door and knocks too. And he brings sin with him. Who was that said over in God speaking to Cain? He said, sin, or devil, stands at the door. Don't open the door to him. Don't play with sin. It is still your heart. Are you with me, John? The heart is very, very significant to God. God said, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows all of the issues of life. Let me finish this thought. The words heart and soul, because they speak of the inner man, are often used interchangeably in God's word. The soul is a trichotomy. It is made up of three parts. The mind, which is called the thinker. The emotions, which is referred to as the feeler. And the will, which is referred to as the chooser. If our hearts has not quickened spiritually, our soul won't function the way that God, the Lord, created us it to. Consequently, not only will we be unhealthy spiritually, but also mentally, emotionally, and physically. We will be unhealthy holistically in every facet of our life. We will be destined to live according to our will as opposed to God's will. Physically speaking, the heart is one of the most significant organs in the human body, as it supplies blood and oxygen to all the organs in your body. If the heart is not functioning properly physically, you are at the risk of physically dying. Without some sort of life support. I want to share with you the significance, and I'm just scratching the surface, and why God wants that heart. Spiritually speaking, physically speaking, it's the most important organ that we have. God says, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways and watch what I do with it. I can do exceeding abundantly above you all you can ask or think, pray or say. If you just give me your heart. So we looked at why God wants the heart and because of its significance. Another reason why, he wants to save our hearts. Look with me to John chapter 17. I promised you, that was the longest point, so I'm not going to keep you here all afternoon. But would you just stop with me just for a moment? To John chapter 17. I'm just sharing my meditations with you because this is what God has spoken to me. And so let me just personalize this and say, Tony, give me your heart. And let your eyes observe my, watch what I can do with your heart, son. Oh, I'm not going to barge in. I'm not going to take your heart. I want to save your heart, son. Why, Lord, as I'm talking to him, you know how evil and wicked my heart is. apart from you. You know I'm prone to wander. Lord, and I heard you say that you will answer my prayers according to the idols that I place in my heart. I wish I had that reference. Look at that one up. It's so easy for us to put other people, places, and things before God. We have to guard that heart. How many of you know that God created us for a love relationship with him? I mean, primarily that's, and he wants to save us so that we can experience and express his love. There's no greater thing than the love of God. And charity is the love of God. It is the greatest of all human qualities. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Charity is the greatest fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit of the fruit of the Spirit is love, God's love. The love of God is the greatest motivator for living or dying for Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says that Paul said, I'm constrained by the love of Christ. The greatest of all virtues of the new man is charity or the love of God. The greatest source of edification or building one up is not knowledge, but it's God's love. The greatest evidence of our faith or true discipleship is that you would love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. What am I saying? God created us, and then wants to save us if you're not saved, so that we can experience and express his love to him, not our love. His love to him by loving him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, so that he can enable us to love our neighbors the way we love ourselves, and so that he can enable us to love one another. You want to know why we struggle with that? With loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Maybe you don't, but I'm talking about me now. Why we struggle with loving our neighbor as we love ourselves enough to even tell them about the love of God? Why we struggle with loving one another, or loving our husbands and our wives and our children the way God loves us? Why we struggle with loving our enemies and loving the lost? Maybe we haven't given our hearts to God. Oh, I gave him my heart when I got saved. Amen. But it's not a one-time thing. We have to give our hearts to God daily. Three times a day. Ask Daniel. Morning, noon, night. We have to make sure that we guard our hearts, because, man, I'm telling you, the enemy will try to steal our hearts, and he'll influence us with the world and its desires, with the flesh, that old Adamic nature. And if that doesn't work, he'll take it to another level. And that's where you get into demonic activity. He wants the heart that bad. The last thing he wants us to do, and I'm not trying to scare you, I'm trying to encourage you. John chapter 17, verse 20. Jesus, in talking to his disciples of his day, and then he speaks to the disciples that would follow after them. We're talking to us. He said in John chapter 17, verse 20, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world might believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them," watch this, "thy name, and will declare it." Why? "That the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." What's the point? God created us for this love relationship. And he wants to save you, if he hasn't already, for the purpose of us experiencing and expressing his love to him, so that we can love him with his love. The love of God is in Christ Jesus. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Express that love to our neighbors, to one another. That's significance, Jace. We got to give him our hearts. Not just daily, throughout the day, even throughout the night. He said, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." We talked about the significance of the heart, that God wants to save our hearts, and God wants us to sanctify our hearts. And you can turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Give me 5 minutes and I'll go through this, and with our closing, it will be done. This is what the Lord has given me in my meditations. I know that God is speaking to me. And hopefully he's speaking to me and through me to you today. No matter who you are and what age you are. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 16. Look at the sanctified heart. The sanctified heart is a spirit-filled heart. Paul said, I'm going to paraphrase for the sake of time, because we've read it before. And Paul prayed that God would strengthen us with might. By his spirit in the inner man. We've already determined that God, when you get saved, God, the Holy Spirit, comes to dwell in our inner man or in our hearts. And Paul prayed that God would strengthen our hearts by his spirit in the inner man. Why? I'm glad you asked. So Christ might dwell or abide or feel at home in our hearts by faith. Now, when you get saved, God, the Lord does come to dwell in your heart. I mean, that's a given. He comes to abide in your heart. But boy, if there's sin in our lives, listen, he's not going to be comfortable there. And it's going to, man, I'm going to tell you, it's going to break fellowship with him. But boy, Paul prayed that God would strengthen our hearts by his Spirit so that Christ would dwell there by faith. So that we can be rooted and grounded in his love and be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of what? His love. So that we might know by experience. Come on, somebody. We might know by experience the love of Christ. We might experience that love with passage knowledge. We're talking about the love of the Spirit. How? As a result of being filled with all the fullness of the Spirit who dwells in our hearts. Then God will do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think in our lives according to the Spirit who dwells in our heart. That takes us back to the whole significance. The world has yet to see what God can and will do. They said, well, we can see it in Christ. You know what Jesus said? And this just came to me. Jesus said, greater works. Did you think about that? Shall we be able to do? Because he goes back to the Father. And the only way I can reconcile that is because the body is bigger than just him now. He's dwelling in our hearts. Oh, glory. Victor, I don't feel like walking back up there. Would you look for, I don't know, I think it's 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. That might be a wrong reference, and I hate to butcher that, but Lord, help me out with that. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. My brethren, I believe that word of God, that he can confirm it. And if I'm wrong, then John can tell me exactly where it is. The word of God says the eyes of the Lord walk to and fro throughout the whole earth. Is that, did I give you the right reference? 1 Corinthians, Chronicles 16, 7, 16, 9. Oh, look it up later. There's a 2 Chronicles 16. I know it's one of them. That's it. What does that say? 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 16, 9. I need a big, strong voice to read that. 2 Chronicles 16, 9. Go ahead, sir.
And the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him.
The world has yet to see what God can and will do with a person whose heart is totally and completely given over to him, 24/7. Then he goes on to say, but I found none. He said, therefore, shall you have wars instead of loving one another. You're destined to fight with one another. Folks, what's going on in the world today? Like more than I ever could ever remember. My son, my daughter, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. How do you do that? It starts with salvation. God will do all that he can to help you to get saved. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it wherever he wants. God will turn your heart if you let him from sin, self, and Satan. God will unite your heart to fear him. God will fashion your heart aright. God will soften your heart so that the seed of his word would bear the fruit of salvation if you just surrender. All God wants you to do is to get saved. Lord, here's my heart. Ooh, Lord Jesus, take me. Lord, here's my heart. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is the Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, salvation. God is rich unto all those who call upon him. Give God your heart so that he can save you and give you his love for all eternity and the opportunity to experience and express that love. If you're saved, don't stop there. Intentionally give your heart to God, starting in the morning and throughout the day. He said, I stand at the door and knock. Imagine that. If any man or woman hear my voice, I'm calling you. I'm knocking. God is really one of his greatest indictment, I believe, against the church today is that only a remnant, a small portion of his people, even understand what it means. I'm guilty of that. All summer I'm preaching on giving God a heart, and then he starts to test me in that. Give him my heart. Why? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You better give it to God. You won't look like you're saved. You won't walk like you're saved. You won't talk like you're saved. You'll be miserable. You'll grieve the Holy Spirit. Starts through prayer. Salvation through prayer. And it's continued through obedience. I like what Warren Wiersbe said in his commentary on John chapter 15. Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue me in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Who's closing the service? You better close it, because I'll keep going. John. Yes. I just stopped by. I don't know, sometimes it's best to just preach what God lays on your heart, as opposed to trying to, I'm not saying we ought not to labor in preparing messages. And I'm not saying that, you can tell that that took some work, but that was in my heart. And in love, I gave it to you from my heart to yours. My son, my daughter, my brothers and sisters, give God your heart. First of all, for salvation. And then after you're saved, every day. God is looking for that person whose heart is right towards him. He can perfect that heart. He does his great work, his greatest work, and ours. If we don't give God our hearts, it's because Satan already has them. So, Father, I've already said enough. I probably said too much. I don't know. But I do know this. That you want our hearts. I believe more than anything else. I'm on a roll, so let me close with this song. It's a short song. It's only 3 minutes long. Be thou my vision. And watch all the references to the heart. O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom. Yes. Don't worry about it. Sorry, James. 382. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, page 382. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Please stand. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only first in my heart. High King of heaven, I treasure thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's son. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall.